Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY car fix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey there. I hope you had a wonderful summer break. Welcome back to the official Formula One podcast, which is all about answering your questions and explaining this incredible sport that we all love. We're here with new episodes every Friday, and whether you're a new fan or just want to learn even more about F1, we're glad you're here. My name is Katie Osborne, and I'm a motorsports presenter based right here in the USA.
And my name is Christian Hugill. I am a Formula One podcast presenter, journalist, and broadcaster coming to you from London in the UK. Now, me and Katie have been doing this since towards the start of the season. If you're new and only finding us after the summer break, welcome. We tackle a different topic every week with the help of F1 genius guests. And sometimes we go rogue and answer loads of smaller questions packed into one episode.
And you've probably noticed that now that we're back from our summer shutdown, we've brought an upgrade. This podcast's shiny new name is F1 Explains. But that's the only thing that's changed. We're still diving in and explaining a different topic of F1 each and every week.
That's right, but we're now bigger and better than ever before, answering not just your whys, but also your whats, wheres, whos, and everything in between. Aside from that, it's all still the same. I'm still here. I can only apologise. Katie's still here in better news. All of our regular friends on the podcast are still here as well, as are our past episodes. They're all still on this feed for you to catch up on too.
Yeah, that's right. There are loads for you to binge on by just scrolling back in this feed on all sorts of topics, from wind tunnels to wet weather driving. Hit follow or subscribe, and you get a brand spanking new episode delivered to you every Friday for free. I love something free, right, Christian?
It can't beat something free. And this isn't just about me and Katie's questions. This is still the podcast where you can ask us anything you like. And because of that, our email address is still the same. You can voice note us. We love a voice note. Or email us your questions, no matter how big or small, to why@f1.com. Ask us anything you like. why@f1.com. And this week's episode has been born from those very emails. Basically, we got loads and loads asking us questions on tires.
Yeah, that's right, Christian. And by the end of this episode, the hope is that you will be an expert on all things F1 tires, from how and why they wear out to what they're filled with and so many other things in between.
Coming up, we'll drop into one of our teams, McLaren, to find out why tyres are so important for Formula One's constructors.
Plus, we'll speak to a big boss at Pirelli, the company which provides F1 tyres.
And very shortly, a man who's raced on them, an ex-F1 driver turned expert commentator. But first, a couple of things to mention. As Katie's just said, Pirelli are F1's official tyre supplier and have been since 2011. They'd previously been involved in the sport in the 50s, 80s, and 90s.
Now, F1 only has one tyre supplier, like you're saying, Christian. And while other companies like Goodyear, Bridgestone, and Michelin have been around in the past, nowadays it is just Pirelli who have the honour of making F1 tyres.
And they make three different types, known as compounds. Hards, which have a white stripe, softs, which have a red stripe, and the yellow-striped mediums are in between the two. Now, a quick bit of tyre science. When F1 tyres rotate and turn at high speeds, they heat up. That hot rubber literally sticks the car to the track, meaning drivers can brake later, accelerate harder, and take high-speed corners at full throttle. It gets me very excited.
You said like a real commentator right there.
Well, I try. Now, the red soft tyres heat up quickly, offering instant grip. That's perfect for a qualifying session where it's all about getting around 1 3-mile lap as fast as you can. They're also used in the race, but in a 190-mile or 305-kilometre Grand Prix, tyre lifespan is more important. That's where the yellow medium or the white hards that won't let you drive so fast as the soft but will last longer come into play.
Well done there, Christian. Now, in a dry race, the teams have to run at least two of those compounds. They might pit twice, going from a soft to a hard, back to the soft, or maybe just once, going from medium to hard. They can do what they like so long as they run two of the three. That is where F1 strategists earn their money.
But it all changes in the wet. Those tires are grooved, designed to throw water out of the way to improve grip. When it's really wet, the teams use the so-called full wets, which have a blue stripe. And if it's damp, the intermediates, which have a green stripe, are used. Now check out our Racing in the Wet episode for more on that.
Now, Christian, thinking we should start this week by talking to a man who knows exactly what it's like to race on these things. Jolyon Palmer raced for Renault, which is now Alpine, between 2016 and 2017. He's also won F1's feeder series, now known as Formula 2, in 2014.
He's now one of the most respected pundits in the world of F1. He's a co-commentator for F1 TV, and he has his own show on F1 TV too. It's called Jolyon Palmer's Analysis. Basically, what happens there is Jolyon Palmer analyzes things. Here he is chatting to Katie.
Tires are such a prominent conversation within F1, and some might say even more so than other forms of motorsport. True or false?
Oh, I think true. In any motorsport, tires are crucial. That description was pretty good. They're round and they're black and they stick you to the track. That's a nice little wrap.
Yeah.
But yeah, in Formula One, it's so crucial, and especially in this era that we're in right now with Pirelli. There's been changes, tweaks through the years, and getting the most out of them with different compounds, different conditions. It's very difficult, and it's crucial because that is the part of the car that sticks you to the ground. Everything else is just aerodynamics and everything else. But what actually it all counts for is how well you're glued to the road, which is where the tires come in.
And before diving into some of these listener questions, why do you think in F1 it is such a conversation, even compared to some other forms of motorsport?
Degradation is the word, really. It's degradation is a really tricky art. Formula One cars, they're so quick. They're so powerful. I mean, pretty much 1,000 horsepower now with the fastest Formula One cars that we've had, give or take, is mind-blowing. And all of that load comes through the tires. So they degrade. The races also are, sometimes it's not that easy to pass on track in certain tracks. So the strategy becomes really important. And that puts more emphasis on degradation as well. And then also, even for qualifying, sometimes getting the tires alive, and whether you hit the window or not the window of the temperature and the performance, that changes whether you're going to be fighting for pole or you're struggling to get in the top 10 sometimes. It's a real dark art.
Susan in Austin, Texas says, hey, I need some help understanding tires, grip, and why they matter. And you've talked a little bit about strategy and why that's important. So why are tires important for you, Jolyon, as a driver in your past, or now as a commentator?
It's just the part that connects the car to the track. So it is, if you can have a great load of downforce, you can have everything else working well, but if you're not working the tires right, then you're still going to be sliding. So tires have a working window where you've got to be in around 100 degrees temperature on the tires. Approximately, it changes track to track, and you get into the details of track surface and all those detailed topics as well. But that's approximately where you want to be. And if they work, then the car's working and it's how it's designed to be. If they don't work and the tires aren't where they're supposed to be, then even a great car can be pretty bad on a day because you're just not connecting right to the tarmac, and it's frustrating. And then from the commentary side, we quite like it when they're not, because it means the drivers are sliding around, there's mistakes. From the driving side, you want it to be perfect, but for the commentators, it's quite fun. And everyone at home, it's quite fun when the tires don't work, because it's easy to make mistakes.
That's right. And it's so funny hearing you as the commentator instead of a driver say it makes it fun when the drivers are sliding. Janice Hale, also another listener, said, I'm new to Formula One and I'm still trying to learn as much as I go. I love the podcast. It's so helpful. Thank you, Janice. Her question is, why do tires need to be warmed up?
And we talked a little bit about just the temperature and the importance of it. But really, there is so much that goes into warming these bad boys up.
So you need to have tire temperature because that is what connects you to the track. So if you have cold tires, doesn't matter what the track's doing, you're just sliding over the surface. So you need to build the temperature and get the rubber basically just sticking to the tarmac a bit more. They're designed to take so much load, and they need to have the right preparation. And again, the cars are so powerful, the tires have to be really, really stiff and strong to support the fastest Formula One cars, the heaviest Formula One cars on some super fast circuits. So they're designed to have a lot of structural rigidity. And it means they're actually pretty hard to warm up. And it's not like in the junior formula where no one has tire blankets and you go out and you hammer it around, or in Indy as well.
Do some swerve. Yeah. Get those tires really, really warmed up.
Exactly. We're still doing that. We're still doing all the weaving and the braking, but from a higher point, because the tires are just designed to perform at a much higher level than other series.
Yeah. Nathan from Vancouver, British Columbia, had asked, I've always wondered how F1 drivers know if their tires are hot or cold. So how do you know when they are warmed up enough?
You feel the grip. You can feel when the grip's there and when the car's working like it should be with the downforce, and you can carry speed into the corner. And when you're just not feeling it and you're sliding and you're making a lot of mistakes, then it can be down to just the tires. It can also be other factors. So sometimes you're thinking it's the tires, you come into the pits and you look up and actually you're quite competitive. So maybe at that point, everyone's struggling and the track conditions are bad and other things. But it's mainly just a feeling through your body.
It's all about that feeling, that connectivity with the wheel, the connectivity with the ground at that point. Nathan also asked, so is there a sensor that displays any of that information on a steering wheel? And what does it feel like for the driver if the tire temperature is too hot or too cold, which you kind of mentioned a little bit there?
Yeah, so on outlaps, you can have some tire temperature sensors just to get a rough idea of your surface temperature, because this is for qualifying. You want to go around and you want to have, start with a slightly cooler tire so that when you launch it through 15 corners or something, they're not overheating at the end. So and you're kind of trundling around in really hot countries. Because you don't want to...
Yeah, very hot.
Yeah.
There are some very warm countries that you guys all go to.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And you really want to be giving the tires a breather actually on the outlap, so then they can survive one fast lap, which is a bit crazy. So at that point, you can look at tire temperature sensors. And then once you're pushing it, it kind of goes out the window. There's a lot more to get into. Generally, when you're lapping in a race, if you're lapping for qualifying, you get the tires fired up. Great. Happy days. If you're lapping in a race, you want the tires to be good, and once they're in, then you're not too bothered. Then it's about pushing hard, working about your strategy, overtaking, defending, looking at other people, and you know the degradation's coming. The tire temperature doesn't necessarily give you the perfect gauge of the deg, because it can just sometimes be wear as well. And then you're just feeling it, and it's horrible when you hit the degradation, because you're basically just losing grip. So it might start off quite good, and then after a certain amount of laps, you start sliding a bit, you start sliding a bit more, and the more you slide, the more you start losing the tires. And then you're calling for a pit stop. And that's when we see drivers come in and wanting strategy change.
And speaking to the pit stop, when a new tire goes on or new tires go on at that point, is there that concern that, oh gosh, now we got to go back and warm up these tires again? Like, let's get these babies going again.
Yeah, it's magic. It's magic.
It's amazing how that works.
Yeah, it's generally, I mean, Formula One follows the sun. So generally, there's not too many races where the tire warm-up is hard. Sometimes on like smooth circuits, then it can be a little bit harder. Maybe Vegas at the end of the year is going to be a real tricky
one.
Yeah,
that'll be interesting. Mm-hmm.
But generally, you come into the pits and your tires, they've had enough. You're sliding around, you're struggling. You come in, you put on some new tires, and from the first couple of corners, it's like, holy moly.
Magic carpet right there. Yeah.
It literally is. And you're going seconds quicker and you're feeling the grip. You've got a smile on your face, and that's why the strategy is important, because then you can undercut people with your fresh tires whilst they're still out there floundering around on bad tires, degraded tires.
And even when those tires are not necessarily comfortable or maybe the right choice, you still feel like there's such a dramatic difference that you'd rather take that than maybe what you were feeling before.
Well, that's where strategy comes into it. Sometimes you have to live with the rubbish that you're on and just drive around it, because taking 20 seconds for a pit stop is not worth it. And maybe it's difficult to overtake. So if you're in Singapore or Monaco, you don't want to come into the pits because you get the magic feeling of new tires, but you get stuck behind other cars and there's nothing you can do about it. So
that pro con, weighing exactly. those, weighing them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So as Christian did karting, and I think we both wish that and dream that we would have been race car drivers at some point in our lives. I won like one go-karting competition one time, and that was like the high for me.
You should be talking about the tires.
Yeah, that's right. That's really what that means. So if you could summarize, the reason I say that is, again, in a motor car, of course, like when you get your tires changed, where I live, we changed our winter to summer tires. And you don't really feel that much of a difference. So is there a way that you can help people who are not race car drivers understand what it's really like going from, you know, worn out tires into some shiny new tires?
It's really difficult, actually, to put it into perspective from road conditions, because on the road, you're pretty much never pushing the limit of grip. And if you are, I would really question what you're doing at the wheel and on the road. So you wouldn't really change it. Maybe in the cold winters and you need to change the winter tires, you maybe get a crossover where you're thinking, okay, this is a bit sketchy. But generally, it's just a feeling when you're driving a lap. You can see it pretty much on onboards as well, where you're driving and you see drivers making little corrections and they can't commit to a corner. And then the next lap, you change the tires and you carry that speed and the car just feels glued like it's on rails at that point. That's the feeling.
Jerry, another listener, has asked, how can drivers manage tire degradation? Which, again, you mentioned degradation is like the key word when it comes to tires, both the good when it's not degrading and also when it pops down to that point.
Yeah, it's tricky. And I mean, as drivers, you're looking at this all the way into Formula One, in Formula One, because there's so much performance in being good on the tires. We saw Sergio Perez being very good on his tires in recent years. And there's a couple of things. Firstly, you got to work out if you're losing the rear tires or the front tires. If you're losing the rears, then you got to be very steady on the throttle. Just be more cautious. Not spin up the rear tires by booting the throttle. Be a little bit more cautious on the brakes, maybe, and try and get the car pointing in a straight line as much as possible. Because when you're braking and turning or accelerating and turning, they start to break traction. When it's front tires, it's actually harder. It's fast corners then are the ones that are tricky, and you've got to kind of go slower through them. It's just horrible.
Because slower sometimes is faster.
It can be. If you want to make a one stop of work, sometimes you got to take it easy.
Oh, man. Okay, so this is like a wild card one. So for all of us in TV land or those watching on TV, we do really appreciate the red, yellow, and white Pirelli markers at times and just trying to better understand what compounds things are. Now, if you took all of that off of the tires, say there was nothing on it, they were all black, and you sent a car out on the track, would you be able to tell whether they're hards, mediums, or soft just on how they feel as a driver?
100% as a driver. I've actually done that. It's a good test because we had it in in Abu Dhabi. They do tire testing. And when Pirelli come with new tires, they don't like the drivers to know what you're doing because you might get a preconception of what you're expecting. So they just put blank tires and you go out and you can tell within two corners that you've got grip or not. And if it's a soft tire, because it just feels so much better when you're on a soft tire compared to a hard tire. So easy to feel the grip. It's like it's built into racing drivers.
Yeah, no, that to me, I would love, again, not a race car driver, will never accomplish that goal in my life. But that would be one.
Well, you already did. You already
yeah,
did.
I mean, yeah, my K1 karting days are over.
A massive thank you to Jolyon, someone I've had the pleasure of working with a few times in F1. He's a fountain of Formula One knowledge, so of course we'll be getting him back on in the coming weeks. I was very sorry to miss him. I was under the weather, but like all good teammates in this sport, Katie Osborne was there to pick up the points despite some reliability problems on the other side of the garage. Well done, Katie.
I got you, Christian. So that, in a nutshell, is why tires are so important for drivers, why degradation happens, and understanding the sheer feeling of them, it's all ticked off our list.
Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY Carfix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things people love.
Now, let's check in with Pirelli, the people who make these tires. Now, one thing you need to know here. Remember earlier when we said there were three types of dry tires, softs, mediums, and hards? Technically, there might be more to that story.
Because, stay with us here, there are actually six types of Pirelli tire. In 2023, these are numbered 0 to 5. C0 is the hardest in Pirelli's range. C5 is the softest. C0 to me sounds like some sort of 90s boy band, but there we are. Now, now, a track with lots of fast corners or an abrasive surface would require tyres at the harder, more durable end of the spectrum. Tracks with slower speed corners that are easier on the tyres can use the softer ones. Now, each and every race weekend, Pirelli pick three of their six compounds. Let's say they bring C1, C2 and C3. Those compounds have white, yellow and red markings put on them and become the soft, medium and hard tyres for that weekend.
Now, we'll get more into that in a moment with Mario Isola. He's Pirelli's head of motorsport. And we caught up with Mario at the 2023 British Grand Prix and started by asking him how F1 tyres are different to those that we have on our road cars.
Obviously, we design F1 tire according to the request that we have from the teams. The first important point is that these tires should last for 100, 200 kilometers. And this is not acceptable on the road. If you have to change the tires to your car every 200 kilometers, probably you are going to kill me. So the point is that on these cars, you stress the tires a lot more than on a road car. Not in terms of speed. We have supercars running at more than 300 kph, so it's not a matter of speed. But because of the downforce, because of the performance of these cars, you are putting a lot of energy into the tires. That means heat. And these tires have to work at a temperature that is much higher compared to the road tires. We are talking about 100 degrees, 120 degrees, depending on the condition. For these reasons, we have to design the tires for Formula One in a slightly different way. Slightly means that the tread compound is different, for sure, but a lot of the materials that we use in a Formula One tires can be used also in a road tire. That's why we say that technology transfer from a race to road is so important for us, because a lot of people have in mind the tread, you know, the part that is in contact with the track. But it's not just this. The tire is a very complicated object where you have textile materials, metallic materials, many different compounds inside the tire. Each of these compounds are designed to work in a certain way. The sidewall, the bead, the tread, the carcass, the belts are all parts that are designed with a specific, let's say, activity into this tire.
Yeah, you know, I think you've mentioned so many different elements to what a tire is actually made of. But if you simplify that, what are the basics of what a tire is made of?
We can say that there is a carcass made of textile material. There are two bed rings to guarantee that the tire is linked with the rim. One important element is what we call rim turning. Basically, when you fit a tire on a rim, you have to find a way that the tire is not sliding on the rim. Because if it slides, is less performance, obviously, but also can generate high vibration. And that's not acceptable for driver. So when you want to accelerate, you need to be sure that the power that you put onto the rim is transferred to the tire and is transferred to the road. So you have the acceleration, the traction, or the braking that you want. Coming back to the question, carcass plies, bed ring, belts to guarantee the cornering stiffness, that is the force that you can put on a corner in terms of lateral force, and obviously compounds, different compounds from the sidewall, the tread, some other compounds that we use in the internal elements to guarantee the performance of the tire.
So we know how they're different to our road cars. We now know a bit about what they're made of. We've got a lot of new Formula One fans who've joined the F1 party in the last few years. But anyone who's been with the sport a little bit longer might remember going back sort of 15, 20 years or so ago, Formula One tyres looked a little bit more like road car tyres in the sense that they had grooves in them, even the dry tyres. So why in current F1 are they slick? Are they smooth? Another difference to road car tyres.
Yeah, the slick tyre is the way to design a tyre with the maximum performance because you have the maximum amount of rubber touching the ground. So if you are able to design a tyre with a bigger footprint, basically you put more rubber on the ground, that means better performance.
Are all four tyres across the car the same?
Yes, that's by regulation. Not all the four. We have the two fronts that are different from the two rears, also different size. But in terms of construction, for example, you know that we bring different compounds to the events, but the construction has to be the same. This is defined by the regulation. So regulations are quite complicated, but also precise in defining what we can do and that the teams can use. In the past, for example, there was a discussion about the possibility to give the possibility to the teams to use front and rear tires with different compound, so maybe soft on the front and medium on the rear, in order to balance the car. But then it was decided to stay with the current situation where they have to use the same compound front and rear.
Why are there three different compounds in Formula One? You guys make, in the dry conditions, a soft, which I know tends to be the fastest tyre, a medium and a hard tyre, with the hard being the more durable but ultimately slower tyre, with medium being in the middle. And why is it like that? Why have three separate compounds?
The idea is to encourage teams to develop different strategies. So we believe that it's quite interesting to see during a race that teams are playing with these different compounds in order to develop their own strategy. They also design the cars in a different way. So some cars are more severe on tires, some cars are lighter on tires, and so they can also decide to use a different approach compared to other competitors. In the past, for example, in 2011, when we came back to Formula One, they had only two compounds for event that they used to call a prime and option. The prime was the hard, the consistent one, the durable one, the option was the soft one. But the point was that in many races we had all the teams using the same strategies. So we were not creating a real differential between teams. And then together with the team managers, the sporting directors and the FIA, we discussed the opportunity to have three different compounds in order to make their life a bit more complicated, maybe.
So also, kind of you.
yeah, because that's true, that races are better when engineers cannot predict everything.
I'm you sorry. Like them too, right?
I'm sorry to say that, but it's true, because if you have changing condition because of the weather, usually you have nice races. If you have some parameters that are not under the control of the engineers, races are better. So we said, okay, let's try to... We have a range at the moment of six different compounds for dry tires, and we select three of these compounds out of the six, depending on the circuit, depending on the tarmac, the weather condition, and so on. And they are obliged to use at least two out of the three compounds during the race. So we have sometime teams or drivers using, starting on the soft, then switching on the hard for the rest of the race. Some others are starting on the medium because they have a more conservative approach and then moving to the hard, or planning a two-stop strategy using soft, medium, soft again. So we have many options. And in the past, we had races where all the three compounds have been used with a different approach, and this is creating more uncertainty on the final result. So I believe that it's good to see also this and also to give the drivers the opportunity to attack or be more conservative depending on the situation on track.
Yeah, that strategy and allowing the tire game to really come into play is a lot of fun as a fan and a consumer to watch. Listener Netherland Delphin had asked, how many tires do each team get each and every race weekend?
We supply 20 sets of tires to each car.
Can we clarify, Mario, is a set of tires two or four?
The four tires. So they mm-hmm. have 80 tires per car. We usually talk about set of tires because when they change the tires, they change all the four tires. So one set is made by two front and two rear tires. They have 13 sets of slick tires. They have four sets of intermediates and three sets of wet. That is for the weekend.
And it's such a lot of tyres. It's not a surprising thing that in motorsport we get through so many tyres, don't we? Obviously, the world of Formula One is so keen to be more sustainable. It's yeah. something we've done a whole episode on before. What happens when the team are finished with these tyres? When they've been used, presumably they're recycled in some way.
Yeah. We collect all the tyres back. Not only from Formula One, also from Formula 2 and 3 and some other championships. And we recycle all the tires. So we sea freight all the tires back to UK and we recycle them generating energy at the moment. But we have more challenging plans for the future to get new material from recycled tires. So the target for us for the future, we already started many projects on that, is to recycle tires in order to get new material. And also, you were talking about sustainability. We are working a lot with Formula One on sustainability, on any detail, because, for example, we have minimized the usage of air freighting for any of our equipment around the world. We are discussing with them new regulation in order to reduce the number of tires that we supply, but we want to continue to guarantee that they have the opportunity to have different strategies, and so the show shouldn't be penalized by this regulation.
Alan has asked, what are F1 tires filled with? Is it air, nitrogen, or something else?
That's, again, is defined by the regulation. It could be nitrogen or dry air. In Formula One, it is forbidden to use any special gas. They have to use nitrogen or dry air. When we fit the tires, we fill the tires with dry air. Some of them prefer to use the nitrogen. To be honest, we made some tests and we didn't find any big difference, because once you remove the humidity from the tire, nitrogen or dry air are working the same. So, but it's up to them to decide what they want to use.
And as we're talking about Great Britain here at the British Grand Prix, let's go to Glasgow, where Gareth Ingram asks, I hear Pirelli are modifying the tyres with new compounds being brought in to the British Grand Prix. So what is it going on here?
Yeah, it's not a new compound, it's a new construction. At the beginning of the season, Melbourne, that was race 3 of this year, we, from telemetry data that we received from the cars, we discovered that they already developed the cars at the level they were expecting at the end of the season. So they are much quicker in development compared to what they were expecting. And that means that we had to react, and we can react in two ways. One is to increase the pressure. But at a certain point is no more, let's say, acceptable, because it has an influence on the performance. And the second one is to use a more resistant construction. We were already in the development phase for 2024 tires, and we have a new material for the tire that is a lot more resistant. So we spoke to the FIA and we said, we believe that the right approach is to introduce this new material earlier. That means from Silverstone. Silverstone is a high severity circuit, and obviously it's important to guarantee safety first of all, and I believe it was the right move, basically. They are not going to change the performance. They are not going to have any effect on the teams, but the resistance to integrity is much higher.
That's interesting too. You mentioned degradation and the difference of that versus wear, the wear out. Georgia Gregory in Andover in the UK says about tire wear. And again, it's neat to know the difference between tire wear now and degradation. But she says at some racetracks, because of the speed and the direction of the corners, one of the tires on the car might wear out faster than the other three. For example, if you turn right a lot at a high speed, it's that front left tire, which is under that high stress. That's physics, right? That's something that she points out. Georgia then asks, have Pirelli considered producing special tires for circuits which put a particular demand on one tire? And it's kind of what you're talking about on a track like Silverstone, which is very dynamic on the car and the tires itself.
Yeah, it's difficult to make a different tire in a particular position, in a particular corner on the car, because we always have one position that is more stressed than the other three. In Barcelona, the front left is the most stressed. In Silverstone, is quite balanced because it's a high-speed track where we have a lot of lateral energy, but is going on all the tires. But it's correct to say that we always have a limiting position, but we don't want to design a different tire compared to the other three. So what we do is to set our target to the most stressed position, basically. So we protect the most stressed position, and that means that the rest of the three tires are not stressed in the same way, but they can resist.
You know, before the start of the race, as a consumer of F1 TV, you see, okay, you know, the options for today are C1, C2, C5, whatever it is, right? And they lay out the three options for us to all understand what those tires are that are going to be on the track. Is there who is that person that decides today we're going to go with 2, 3, and 4? Who's that person?
Basically, we decide in Pirelli, and we make a proposal to the FIA first with an idea of the three compounds we want to take to each event. And they check and they come back to us, FIA and F1, of course. I believe that now we have quite a good amount of data coming from past years. So we have a characterization of all the circuits that is quite precise. It is a bit more difficult for new races. For example, this year we have Las Vegas, and obviously we never raced in Las Vegas before. In this case, we have to rely on team simulation. So with team simulations, we can understand the level of severity of the circuit. We check the weather condition expected in Las Vegas in November. During the night, it will be quite cold. We have to consider that. And we usually work together with people that are making the asphalt at the circuit to understand which is the level of roughness of the asphalt.
It seems, again, so basic. You know, tires touch the road, tires make the cargo. But it's amazing when you dive in a little deeper to try and understand the compounds, what that means, the technology behind it, and truthfully, the way that you guys are moving towards sustainability in the future. I think it is really impressive and important to know that Pirelli's kind of backing what Formula One is and the changes that it's going to have in the future with its racing. So thank you for your time and your knowledge and your insights.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
We really appreciate Mario's time and insights, particularly on a busy Grand Prix weekend. And it's awesome to have been able to get through so many of your questions too. A reminder, you can email those to us anytime, y@f1.com.
Now, Mario also used a word that if you're new to motorsports or Formula One, you might not have come across before. It's scrutineer. Now, these guys and gals are at race weekends on behalf of the FIA, the sports governing body, and it's their job to, well, scrutinize. They check the cars, engines, tires, and that sort of thing to make sure all are running under the F1's rules and regs.
Yeah, the teams have strict rules to follow in all aspects of Formula One, and tires are no exception. And we're going to hear more about that now from Hiroshi Imai, Director of Race Engineering at McLaren.
Tires are a big part of his job. Isn't that right, Christian? He spends a lot of his time at work thinking about them, whether he's at the McLaren Technology Center over in the UK or at a race weekend.
And because of that, Hiroshi starts by giving us his expert definition of what a tire is. Now, bear with us here if things get a little complicated.
Just black and round things. That's tires.
Well, Hiroshi, that's all we need to know. Thank you for
Simple
joining us.
Indeed.
All right, bye. No. Anyways, so let's start at the beginning of a race weekend. Each car gets 20 sets of tires each race weekend. So how and when do Pirelli give them to the teams?
So usually the Pirelli fitting crew start working on Wednesday to fit mainly dry tires on Wednesday. and then a wet and intermediate tires to be fitted on Thursday. That's standard procedure, and they have to fit the tires onto the rims and balance them to make tires run the spinning pretty well. And then second phase of preparation is on our side, in our garage, tire garage. Our crew prepare tires by adding some marking on the sidewall to identify all those tires, as well as checking all the pressures and sensors are working correctly. That's process prior to the race weekend.
Hiroshi, I'm a cyclist, and there is one element of cycling I can't do. I cannot, for love nor money, put my tyre on my wheel rims. I have to get a man at Halfords to do it for me, which for those not in the UK is a bike shop. Is it as tricky with a Formula One car tyre to get it on the rims? And is that someone else's job?
Exactly. This is not easy job. And they have the, of course, very well developed equipment to do it, and very well trained the personnel to fit tyres onto the rim. I can't do it, but they can do it. Superman.
It's Superman. The Superman tire people.
Yeah.
And when you kind of look at the tire allocation going into the race weekend, does each driver get a certain particular set, or would, say, a swap happen and Lando gets Oscars and Oscars get Lando, and is that then a big problem?
Yes, the tires are randomly allocated by the FIA to each driver's. We can't mix between the tires for Oscar and tires for Lando. If we do that kind of mistakes in the race or sprint, if we correct those mistakes within two laps, you get in trouble to have a penalty. So that's a severe penalty we have to have. And the talking about tires, so 20 sets per driver, that means in total of 400 sets for all entire Formula One pit train, that means 1,600 tires. So without mistake, to fit all tires very well identified is not an easy job. It's a quite big job.
Also Superman.
Superman and Superwoman as well.
Yeah, Superman, Superwoman, Superhuman.
Exactly.
And you mentioned that the drivers have their own sets of tyres. When you go into a Formula One team garage, you do see Lando, for example, or Lando's number or Oscar 81 on the side of the tyre. So it's very clear whose is whose, because as you say, you can get a penalty if you accidentally fit a set of tyres that isn't registered to that particular driver. And we've already spoken to Mario from Pirelli in this episode. Mario explained how Pirelli chooses which tyre compounds to bring to each race and the range of the different tyre compounds. But once that's been selected, and once you guys have your softs and your mediums and your hards, how do the teams choose which tyres to use during a qualifying, a race or a sprint, and when to use them?
So ultimately, our objective is to maximise our performance in the race, or maximise the point scoring in the race. And to achieve that, of course, we want to get qualified as forward as possible. So normally, with the Pirelli compound allocation, we do create our tyre models, our own tyre models, to do a lot of simulations, thousands or millions of simulations in prior to the event, and to decide what kind of tyre usage is optimum for us to maximise our point scoring opportunities in the race. Then from that point backwards, we create our plan how and if and when we want to use tyres in qualifying and practice sessions. So a lot of preparation work to be done. And adding more complication, of course, that tyre model can be swing according to the track condition, weather, rain, dry, how track evolves. So it's not easy task and quite dynamic process.
Right, we've had some questions from our listeners for you, Hiroshi. The first one is from Raj Rana in Switzerland. Raj would like to know how Pirelli and the FIA monitor tyre usage.
That's a very good question indeed. So there are two ways to check. We have the dedicated and allocated Pirelli personnel, Pirelli engineer in our garage. So the all 10 teams has the Pirelli engineer in our garage. So those guys are checking the tires when we are leaving from the garage. The other check is when car comes back to the garage, the FIA scrutineer in the garage check the barcode on the tire sidewall, which is official, let's say, information database for the FIA to monitor.
Speaking of that, we did have another listener question for you. Alberto has noticed that during a race, drivers sometimes come into the pits and switch to a set of tires that have already been used. Why do they do that?
That's also a very good question indeed. Often we have to take a used set of soft tires, generally, because they basically all the softest set being used already in qualifying. So that's inevitable that we have to take a used set of soft tires. But equally, probably a question comes from the fact that some teams, they use very lightly used tires from previous sessions, like practice sessions, so-called scrub tires. The why they use, of course, we take a little bit out of very surface rubber from tires. That may create a bit more consistency of compound behavior during the race. That could be one reason, but it's more like a down to the team's choice, because probably the difference is very small. So you can even choose new tires to maximize the very fast, let's say, performance, or use scrub set of tires to have more consistent performance.
And just on that, Hiroshi, I sometimes do a bit of Formula One pit lane reporting. I was lucky enough to be at the Miami Grand Prix, and in one of the practice sessions, Lewis Hamilton at Mercedes reported grip problems, said he just couldn't grip up on the tyres. When he came into the pits to change really quite early on in the practice sessions, I had a look at his tyres that he just got off the car. One half of the tyre's surface looked smooth and another half looked really worn, and it was like a split line down the middle. How does that sort of thing happen? And after stops like that, where a driver like Lewis in that situation was struggling, will the team study the tyres, and what can they learn from them in a situation like that?
So that so-called graining, so it happened on the front left tyres for many cars. So half of the tyres looks, front right tyres, half of the tyres looked fine, as you said, quite new, but the inboard half of the tyres grained a lot. So that is because of very high local concentration of the stress on compound through certain corners. Once it starts happening, it's very difficult to recover the performance back. So all the teams are putting a lot of effort to avoid or to mitigate that kind of problems. But when it happens, it happens. And very high local stress and the temperature increase on the tire surface.
The response is probably the same for any team who's in that situation when they figure that out. But do teams have engineers whose sole focus is looking after the tires during a race weekend, keeping them safe, keeping them warm? We mentioned those superhumans, those other superhumans who make sure those tires are just exactly the way they're supposed to be.
That's true. So I think all the teams have so-called tire engineer, both at the track side to monitor what's happening on the tires physically and also on the data, but also back in the factory, there are a few engineers looking at the tire parameters on the data and collaborate between the engineers to maximize performance out from tires, as well as to ensure that tires are running at a safe manner.
That feels like a pressured job to make sure those are exactly the way they're supposed to be.
Biggest challenge for those engineers is often we got a question from many other engineers that, right, in 10 laps time, what's going to happen on tires? It's a very difficult question, of course. If I have crystal ball,
yeah,
I can answer. But as I don't, it's very difficult to answer.
That would be helpful in Formula One, though, if you had a crystal ball.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think there's some strategists like Bernie Collins, our friend on this podcast, who'd appreciate a crystal ball. They really would. Hiroshi, what are the most important tyre rules that teams have to stick to?
So the biggest one is, as we spoke a bit already, don't mix it up. So if we mix up the tyres for Lando and tyres for Oscar, we will be a big hit. Unless you come back within two laps, we got the 10 seconds penalty. And similarly, and equally, if we fit soft tyres on the front and hard tyres on the rear, the same problem. So you have to correct that wrong configuration within two laps, otherwise you get a 10 seconds penalty.
Hiroshi, you've been fantastic. You've really helped us understand tyres. I did just want to put you on the spot, though, just to end, if that's okay.
Right.
As a man who spends so much of his working life looking at Formula One tyres, can I ask you the ultimate question?
Go.
What's your favourite Pirelli tyre? Would you say a soft, a medium, or a hard?
Intermediate.
There you go.
Great answer. Great answer. Yeah. Good answer. Good answer. What is it about an inter?
Intermediate tyre is a very interesting tyre. Maybe somebody remember what happened 2020 Turkish Grand Prix.
Wow, science is now where they're all pumping in fastest middle sectors.
All I want to know is there's no concern at this time any of these tyres blowing up, right?
None at the moment, Lewis. We looked at Valtteri's that did similar distance, looked in similar condition, but nothing to worry about.
So he wants to stay out there. He doesn't want any unnecessary pit stops. 46 laps. He's completed on these intermediate tyres and he seems quite happy with it. 10.
So that was the answer, wasn't it? That was the answer to Mercedes' worries all weekend. How do we get tyres to actually do this race? How do we switch on the tyres? I'll tell you what, it's to put some intermediates on, run them down to slicks and then run them to the end. They're happy to leave this to Lewis. They trust him.
So the intermediate tyre started used on damp conditions, wet conditions, performed okay. Then track was getting drier and drier, and the intermediate tyres run forever basically, and became pretty much like a slick tyre. So it's very interesting behavior. So we could use that tyres very long on even on drier conditions once it get more like a slickier aspect.
Well, we've already explained on this episode that wet tyres are grooved in order to throw up water out the way.
That's correct. Yep.
But I'm guessing that you wouldn't normally expect an intermediate tyre that's effectively been worn away and sort of sandpapered down until it is slick to behave as well as it did. Would that have been a surprise to you?
Exactly. That's fantastic experience. I was finding out generally, maybe I can go more. We can go more.
What a fun find.
5 watts more, 10 watts more, and we made it, basically. So it's fantastic experience.
I think on that, I might now declare intermediate tyres the favourite tyre of this podcast. So that's our preferred tyre.
Yeah, indeed.
Hiroshi, lovely to speak to you. I hope we can speak to you again.
Thank you very much.
Well, a massive thanks to Hiroshi and, of course, our other brilliant guests this week, Julian Palmer and Mario Isola.
Not only have we looked at why tyres are so important, but we've answered so many more questions besides, all sent in by you. So thank you so much. Keep them coming. Anything you want to know about the sport, just ask us. The email is whywhy@f1.com. Bonus points if you send us a voice note. And also, let us know what you think about the podcast. We'll read some of your messages out next week.
Yes, and please don't forget, if you want more from F1's official podcast, join Tom Clarkson for Beyond the Grid and F1 Nation each and every week. And the Formula One website, of course, F1.com, is the only place you'll ever need for the latest and greatest news, insights, and opinions from the wonderful world of F1.
And if you can leave us a nice review and rating, we would be incredibly grateful. Me and Katie will be back next week with more experts helping you learn about Formula One here on F1 Explains. Until then, bye for now.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.